Hello, everyone. Welcome to Don't Talk If You Don't Know, EMEA episode number 5 in the first episode of Set 11 Inkborn Fables. A lot has happened. It's been already a bit more than a month since the set launched, especially if you count the intensive PBE scrims that some of us were playing in before the set even launched. But we're happy to bring in the first preview episode for GSC number 1. And I have a great roster of guests, all Polish, myself included, of course, for today's episode. I'm Petra Panda, your host. I'm joined by my co-host, Alan ZQ. And by two very special guests for many reasons, Shredden and Asaika. Starting with you, Alan. Hello. How are you doing?
Hello. Doing great. Hey.
How has your ranked ladder climb been this last month, Alan? You were rank 1 for a bit. Overall feels on this new set?
Feeling great. Best set, like, if you hit rank 1, best set of all time, always. Remember that.
I feel like you say this every single set, and every other competitor in the world does when they're doing well. Surprise, surprise.
Yes, Shredden, when your heart attack 500, it's the worst set of all time, remember?
Exactly. Shredden, you had a very good start to the set as well with Rumble Recap. How has it been the last few weeks? Are you still with good confidence going to GSC?
I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm very confident. I know what I want to play, how to play, and everything. I don't think I'm going to have to high roll if I'm going to win, but I'm enjoying the set so far, so that's what matters most to me.
And Asaika, my fellow day 3 compatriots in the Open qualifier, which is, of course, the grueling test in TFT. How are you having, if I'm not mistaken, qualified to your first ever GSC coming to this weekend?
Yes, I'm feeling great. Slowly climbing on the ladder. I'm feeling all right in this meta, so hopefully I will manage to go to day 2 at least on this GSC. I hope.
So I mentioned you two are very special guests for many reasons. For Polish viewers, they probably know both of you very well. You're both streamers. You're both players that are playing at a high level in TFC on ladder as well. For viewers from NA even or just international viewers that don't know you two, I'm going to list off reasons why I'm so happy to have you both on the show today. First of all, you're a couple in real life, which I think is fantastic. Second of all, you're both very successful in my eyes, doing things not just, you know, grinding on ladder, but a lot of extra stuff that we'll talk into later in the podcast about just, you know, I think you're casting TFT now for the Polish Ultraliga. You're both grinding ladder, you're both streaming, and you're both hopefully preparing together for this tournament this weekend. I wanted to ask both of you, how has the experience been of now being able to prep together for the tournament? Are you guys excited?
I mean, yeah, we've been, played a lot together for a while already, so it's not like it's very different right now. Obviously, I'm very excited that Asia made it to the tournament itself as well, because I was keeping a close eye on her fighting during the qualifier, so I was really hoping that she would make it, and now here we are.
Usually it's Shredden the one qualifying. You're trying your best to, in this case both of you made it this time. How does it feel to have the chance to prep together, to have kind of the same challenges coming into the weekend?
We are playing together like all the time. He's my first person to talk with about new comps, about the new meta, new patch, everything. He's like my first contact, and I love to play with him because he has unique play style, in my opinion. He always taking some different weird augments and trying to win with that. So from those games, I can learn a lot.
So that's why it's taking you so long to qualify. Okay, now I understand.
Yeah.
If you're learning this play style from Shredden, now it all makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
And coming into the Open qualifier, I'll go through my experiences as well, but I wanted to ask you, Asaika, how was the prep for the tournament? What changed this time for you to qualify? Was it, do you think you had a better understanding of the meta? Was it some luck involved? Was it, what were the reasons, do you think?
Oh, I think the meta. Like, for sure, the meta. I hate rerolls. I'm not feeling confident in rerolls, and now you have this meta with level 8, find your 4 cost and build your board, and I'm feeling most confident in that field, so probably meta.
Okay. And coming to the weekend, into last weekend, what were the comps you were trying to play? What was your general game plan? Were there any comps you were defaulting to from day 1? Did it change throughout different days?
My game plan, always, every day, was just make top 4. Every game. I just want to make top 4. From the beginning, I trying to make the best early game. Then just smoothly go into level 8 and then find my 4 cost and then go 11, 8, 9 and fight legendaries. And that was my plan for every my game.
Okay. And you were happy to play all different forecasts, like Ashe and Kai'Sa? And
every
Kane,
forecast or... I have. Okay. I'm just taking every pair I have. If I hit it on level 2, then I just trying to do with that.
Okay.
And Lissandra, of course. If you have Lissandra on level 8, you just won the lobby.
I think everyone knows this.
Yeah.
not a surprise. I had a similar game plan, trying to play Gnar reroll, but yeah, generally focusing around Kane and Heavenly and the forecast, which we'll be talking about the meta a bit coming to GSC1. I think knowledge has changed. Obviously, throughout the weekend, some comps have been developed a bit more, like the Silas comp that is kind of new tech, but overall, meta is pretty similar. We're going to move on to the first kind of bigger segment of the show, which is going to be the kind of news regarding GSC. But first of all, we have, of course, the Leipzig event, which happened a few weeks ago. Alan and I were there in person. We had Clemu, a French player, as our winner. And for those who don't know Clemu, I don't entirely blame you. He's kind of, I would not to disrespect him, but like, you know, low A tier French player. Doesn't qualify to all GSCs, isn't really in EMEA finals. But he's someone that's always there around GM, around low challenger. And the start of the set he's had has been fantastic. He won the Gamers, or second in the Gamers Assembly LAN in France the weekend before Leipzig. So big French LAN. And then the week after, came to Germany and got first place. So in TFT, that's a very hard thing to do. I'm very excited to see if he just has unlocked some new level and he can maybe surprise us in the GSC this weekend. And Solvi, who we see there as well, got second. Really good performance. No surprises there, considering it's Solvi. And we see the LAN event here, which, Alan, do you want to walk us through how the experience was of playing in the dark for 3 days?
Listen, I felt like I was playing in the catacombs. Gaming, like, when you sit at the home, at least myself, when I'm streaming, I have lights shining on me, I have screens lighting me, and then I go from that to playing in front of the tiny laptop, the darkness with all the gamers around. It was quite an experience.
But perfect.
That's not the only one hall. There is, like, multiple halls of like that, yeah. With the LANs happening all over the place.
This is, like, 1/15th of the entire LAN, I would say.
Yes, that thing was absolutely massive. Even though the like conditions like are not suited for every gamer, it was quite an experience to see all those people just assemble to game. Like just
imagine
even for single player games.
For day one, traveling with Alan from Warsaw at like when was our flight? Like pretty early, like 7-8 a.m. is the start of the journey, and we ended the tournament because the tournament started like in the afternoon on Friday, day one. And we ended like at 3 a.m. So it was like way too many hours, like awake next to Alan, basically. It was quite the experience. Back on this announcement, there's going to be a second LAN event that was already announced. And it is going to be in Poland, which is, of course, the reason why I brought these guests here today. It will be at the Meet at Rift LAN festival kind of thing in Wutz. And it will be kind of like a gaming event with TFT integrated as well. And there'll be a LAN event and, you know, probably a pretty big prize pool and a slot for EMEA finals as well. So kind of the same deal we had in Leipzig, but in Poland in August. So make a note in your calendar. Would
let
be going
from us for the other Poland,
okay, yeah,
who,
yeah,
know,
okay,
where they can come. Because I'm Polish and I had to think for a bit, where the hell is LAN after you pronouncing? It's in Łódź.
Okay, that was close enough. Fuck off.
It was close enough. I understood.
Sure.
So listen,
sure.
The problem. Okay, if you're an English speaking person, it is pronounced with a Polish L, which is like a W.
And U, and U as well. Polish.
Exactly. So if you read it, it reads as Lodz, like L O D Z, basically, in case you're Googling this for the future. But that's in the past, Leipzig. Now, going to the future, we have GSC. So I'm just going to go through just different announcements regarding the tournaments. Nothing too much in terms of discussion, more just informing our viewers of the different things they should look out for. In terms of the broadcast team, will be.
Can I ask a question for the LAN? Because you both been in Las Vegas and also in this one in Germany, which one was better and why?
I'm not going to answer out of potential disrespect towards the Leipzig organizers.
Okay.
Thank you for your investigative journalism, Asaika, but Vegas was noticeably better for. You know, a long list of reasons. We do another episode of the podcast at midnight and we can go through all the reasons of why Vegas was a superior event. Let's just say that. But let's look at the GSC broadcast team. So same team as always for the most part, but Memo, German player, is joining. So we will have a bit more high level analysis for the show. And the price pool, I believe it's higher. Shredden, Alan, you guys remember last set, the price pool for GSC?
10th win, so then
okay, take my word for it. It's a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the circuit, it's better. So just take my word for it. But still, pretty good rejuice if you get first place, which is, of course, very hard. We have now the ladder qualified players. So this happened not this last weekend. It happened already almost 2 weeks ago with a rank lock. And we have a whole list of players here looking at the EUNE. One notable name is Kesman, who jumped across the servers to find his way into GSC. There was a very tight race between Kesman and Left Overture, but that was for the Ultra Liga, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And he won with 8 points. Above Left, yeah. Left above Kesman, of course.
Yeah. But still, both players are playing on EUNE, and they both, of course, made it to GSC. Any names that jump out at you, Alan, Shredden, anyone from EUNE or from the Turkey ladder?
I mean, definitely a part of the Kesman Left, which we already know. There is Zulinash. There is, of course, the P. So, quite a lot of names coming up.
Well, I think Noel is the one that's obviously going to make the biggest appearance out of all of them, I think. Also having a huge performance at Vegas, so one of the favorites to win it all, I think.
Noel, I think he had a disappointing set 10 because after the Vegas, he had a bit of a break, I think, or some vacations where he stayed longer in the U.S. and then he wasn't really informed for the first GSC.
Oh, so just like Sasa, right?
Yeah, and had this like huge comeback in the GSC 2 and just didn't make it in the end to make it to finals. So I think he was a bit disappointed. We'll see. He has some extra motivation coming into the set 11. From Turkey, a lot of the usual names. Darkest, of course, is going to be qualifying. Asinthi, who already saw a bit at the end of set 10. But a lot of new names as well that I don't really recognize as much, like Lexist and Amator and Finca. So we'll see what they can bring to the table for GSC. But of course, looking at the best server in EMEA, it's going to be Europe West with one particular name at the very top of that list, Alan ZQ. Alan, how was your rank ladder experience this last month?
It was the fluke. I know.
It was Lux with Porcelain all the time.
I mean, they didn't know. They didn't look at the stats. They didn't trust me.
I didn't want to play this
card.
In open qualifier, somehow, I found myself playing two games of Lex reroll, not wanting to. And
how did it go?
It worked out. I think both top four, one maybe a bit better. I think they worked out, but I could have played better. I still made mistakes, but it was, kind of the high.
You think we're going to see Lux reroll this week at all?
Specific spots, I think. Where like you really have an insane opener for it, because I think most of the players will be comfortable on.
Is Alan's stream a very specific stream where you could see Lux Real tomorrow?
Right now, I'm not sure what we're seeing because he's been away from CST the last week, so there's a lot you're seeing on the stream.
He'll be fine.
Looking at the rest of the list of players, a lot of the usual suspects, I think nothing too surprising. I guess the few names that do come out are Klikornin, who we used to play on the Turkish server. Was already at GSC's last set, is now playing on EU West and still popping off, still performing at a high level. So I think it's always a good sign to see Turkish players who are maybe, targeted a bit of like, oh, Turkish ladder is too easy, that's why you qualify, but then they come to Europe West and they still have a very good showing. Take another L, is a Russian player. I don't know if any of you know anything about this player. I never seen him before on the high ranks, but he's been high, I think since the very beginning of the set, he's been top 10, top 20. We'll see what they can do. And yeah, overall, just a lot of the names we see always. Some of the names that are missing, Deduzor did not qualify through ladder. Evan Parker did not qualify at all for GSC. Salvi as well is missing. Safo from Spain is missing.
Travis.
True. So some big names have not been able to adapt,
I think,
to this set just yet.
Rico is also not qualified, is he?
Rico? I don't think so. Yeah. He didn't make it through open qualifier. Skipeis as well is missing. Got day one. Ging is missing. That's the biggest one. I don't know if you guys saw the tweet that we saw from the TFT Esports EMEA account today on Twitter. Lelouch is now the only player in Rising Legends history to qualify to every single GSC. It was Ging and Lelouch until now, but Ging did not qualify to this GSC for the first time ever, which is really, really surprising. And it goes to show that this set, for some people, has not really worked out just yet. But that's the ladder list of players. We're going to look now at the TRC qualified players real quick just to see who made it from the different TRCs. And of course, we have the Ultra Liga somewhere here as well. See who made it from there. Oh, Shredden, is that you qualifying for this TRC?
Yeah, the four high rollers that didn't make it through the ladder, that had a bit of luck during one day. And here we are.
You know how in the TRCs there is like four spots, LC? We have a split groups. eight players per group, mm-hmm. and well, like there is no particular like seeding, so there was pretty much RNG who ends up where, and we end up in one group with five players qualified through the ladder for the GSC. So there was only three players fighting for two GSC spots, and that got grabbed by the Takashi and. I think Sinki was in the...
No, it was Shuriken and
Shuriken. Yeah,
Shuriken. Interesting. Looking at the rest of the regions, though, nothing too surprising. For Northern Legends, Stormy, once again, making had a really good set 10, including Vegas. Was kind of one of the big breakout players for me from the UK. From France, most of them, I think, made it to the ladder, which is why we're seeing Rebanov, who actually won the Gamers Assembly, the land that Clemu got second in. Rebanov was the winner. IMTLT and Sidril. StarCop, yeah, a lot of the best players I think made it through the ladder, like Aug, for example. There are some newer players from the German TRC, like Charmsnare. I have no idea who this person is, but hopefully they do well this weekend. And Wet Jungler was about to not make it to GSC, but because I'm not sure who it is, made it through the ladder and they finished fourth. Hyrule and Wet Jungler finished fifth in TRC, and because of that, he makes it. So a lot of very, very talented, almost, you know, favorite players were either not making it to GSC or just barely, like what Jungler was getting is really interesting. And now the most important slide, of course, the open qualifier players, the most Giga Chad way to qualify to GSC, considering the cutoff for day one is exactly 31 points. And the cutoff for day three was 28 for the first time ever in Rising Legends history, I believe, which our fellow Polish player Stan was the first player to not make it with 28, actually.
And he lost his sanity and hair.
And here, probably a lot of things, yeah. Look at the list. The most surprising thing for me, Dedizor and Dark Hydra, two players that have played at Worlds, having to battle it out through the open qualifier to make it to GSC, showing that it is a very inclusive way of qualifying. Players of all skill levels can make it through here. Magarki as well, a big name. Stylitz, I know, has been really popping off on ladder, but in this case, just barely making it to open qualifier. And 22, Asaika, made it through. How many points did you end up on?
29.
Okay, so one point clear. A dominant run then.
Yeah.
And that's the full list. No real, I think, bigger surprise other than these like really, really big names. Havaldi as well, I guess. My men, a little bit pro. Kaspersky as well. But overall, a few new players that we haven't seen much of yet in GSC. So always exciting to see these players that make their debut and they can handle the pressure and kind of competition at this level, which is very, very different. But this covers all the players. And the list, we're going to look at the regions really quick, just to look at the country breakdown. Because one country has gained lots of slots, and that is, of course, Poland. We are now, you guys are 13 now. I believe you gained plus 5 from the last GSC, so a really big difference. Alan, any, you know, reason do you think that Poland is doing so well in this set?
We had a goal to make France shake, finally, for their participants number in day 3. It's time to take over, baby.
Okay, you're not that close, Pony. You're like almost half of the slots away.
In day three participants, not day one. That we are not talking for day one. Day three is where it matters.
You can trash talk Spain. We always used to be like the fourth most represented, and now we're the fifth. Poland has overtaken us again. And Germany actually has lost a few slots. Not that successful. Are you guys surprised?
Regarding who?
Germany.
Oh.
They usually have around similar frags last few sets.
No, do they really? I think France was always very dominant when it comes to numbers, so no surprise over here, I think.
Do you guys think day three Poland will do better than usual? Because usually there's only like one or two Polish players max day three.
For sure. No rerolls, baby. We're going to pop off.
All three of you are making it to day three?
What do you mean?
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
We're going to have the tournament draft later, so I want to, if you guys are confident now, I want to see it backed up later on. You guys can vote for yourselves and then see how that goes.
I mean, I'm not confident, but I will try my best. Oh, that's my statement.
Okay, just setting the bar real low at the very start of the podcast.
Top four. That's my goal.
Alan, is that the same for you? Just top four?
Hello, we are winning.
Considering your current form, maybe I think you should go with this.
Listen, I have the bet. Relax, buddy.
We played one game together today. What were the placements? Do you remember?
Oh, like you cannot possibly taking this lower all game into account. Like, come on.
I think you had like 7.
Sanity. Excuse you, you I don't gain two Sinus two lead two with some Giga Bisaguens on the cooldown.
It was the five exalted, it was the most cursed exalted of all time, where you have Kane, Lee Sin, and Silas all exalted. It's like, okay, well, I guess I'm playing heavenly. But we'll see. We'll see later in the fantasy draft what the actual expectations are for your all your individual placements and other players as well. I'll be the end of the podcast, so hopefully an exciting thing to look at. But with these GSC info dump assets out of the way, we're going to enter the meta, which hasn't changed too much from Open Qualifier, but I'm going to bring up our brothers from NA, their website, TFT Academy, and we're going to look at their tier list, at what the meta looks like, and we're going to look at just right now if there's any surprises there for any of you, if there's any comps that you guys are surprised to see. I know, Asuka, you mentioned a lot of the forecasts that you're playing and you're very comfortable on, but we'll see who here through everything. If you guys don't know what one of the things are, just let me know. I think I know off the top of my head. Some augments are included as well, like the Annie with the plus is built different, for example. But the emblem, you should be able to understand most of what is here. Alan, looking at you, any comp that's surprising you, where it's placed or that it's even placed in the tier list at all?
Okay, so basically today I jumped back in. I haven't played a whole week on this patch.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that people are playing Ashe with Lilia in buckets. There's like double reverse phone in that comp. Like, how? Why? There's so many better units to play in that. I was actually surprised people play that. And it has actually decent delta. And I just refuse to believe it's superior. It's so
That's what being up for a week from a game makes your mind.
Thank you. Exactly. I was spent 1 hour in Alan's chat telling him all the things he has to relearn because of this last week's meta.
Hey. Yeah. I accept that Ashe is good, but I refuse to play Cog on my board on stage 5. Like, just,
okay.
It's just not happening.
So, I won't see you with a Kog'Maw on your board at any point in time in GFC, is that correct?
I mean, if I level to 10, I have one gold left over and there is Cog in the shop, yeah, I'll buy it because I need
I'm
one.
Taking notes. If during the main broadcast cast, I see a Kog'Maw on your board at level 8, you're gonna get publicly shamed on Twitter. For your trash takes and for targeting a poor defenseless one cost little sniper guy that's just trying to help out, you know? Come on, Alan. For you, Shredden, any comps that stand out or that you personally have liked playing a lot on this patch?
I don't know. No surprises over here. I feel like Fine Vintage is a bit overrated according to this tier list. It's not very consistent, in my opinion. Haven't seen it at all. Don't really know what Silas is doing so high yet because I
have this version we're actually going to look at specifically because I think it's an interesting comp that I know Raptor tweeted about it last week. I know you're muted, Alan. I think I know Milk has been playing
interesting.
A lot
is it powerful though? Like,
I haven't played it, I don't know. I wanted to see your opinions, all three of you coming into this weekend. If you have any considerations about playing it,
yeah,
even on level 8 roll down, you think it's bad?
I mean, I just think it's bad, so I'm uncontested.
Oh, so it's not bad. Okay, we're gonna deep dive, but first let's look at the general overview. Rerolls obviously do really poorly. Some rerolls like Kog'Maw and Bard and Duelist pretty much untouchable. Unfortunately for this GFC patch, I think Gnar is gonna be really the only viable one. And some hero augments. Are you guys open to playing things like the Shen hero augment, Ethereal Blades, things like the Yorick hero augment, Asuka?
Maybe not reroll, but. Just go with 2 level and go at level 8 and compose it with other free cost. I would prefer not to reroll those.
Okay, so you're very clearly the opposite.
Yeah,
I am.
I don't like rerolls. I hate rerolls. For real. I just like to play around 4 cost and that's why okay. If you have like good spot for it and a lot of copies of it, yeah, sure, go for Shen 3 and Yorick 3, but rolling for those on 6, it's a grief for me. Okay. And better to go level and cap a board with something else.
Were you starting?
How do you feel?
It's very dependent on the items I would get. Like yesterday, I played 2 Kabuko games in a row, and if I have a belt, a cloak, or an armor, starting the game off, I would definitely not hesitate to take the Kabuko augment because it seems broken. But all the other ones, like I know I played Yorick twice and I went 1st and 8th, so it's really not something I studied a lot or enough, I think, to be confident enough to take it again. But yeah, I'm not a fan of rerolling either. Like, I think there will be a lot of similarities between me and Asaika. So, yeah.
I want to hear about the weird augments that you pick that sometimes you... we all want more details. What augments are we talking about?
Okay.
How weird are we getting?
He has...
I think they're very small specific, and I just like to things out, especially when I'm playing on stream. And if the chatters ask for something, I would be eager to test it out.
And your testing worked out. You were one of the first players at trying the Ghostly Kai'Sa before the nerfs happened. So maybe we need more of Shredden's testing. With different
That's why I like to see how he plays, because he has good thinking about most of the stuff, and he likes to try new things. And when someone's trying new things, you can learn from that. So that's amazing playstyle from him.
Yeah, one thing I have to mention about the Kai'Sa as well, like Asha played the Kai'Sa twice during open qualifiers and went first both games. So I was really proud watching her play that comp, and I was actually surprised that it would do so well in this meta. But I think it's pretty good against Ashe comp as well, since she does need to ramp up a little bit, and the Spectres have more time to ramp up as well.
Mm-hmm. Looking at the game plans in terms of going to this weekend around four costs, are you all happy playing each and every one of the four? Do you guys think they're all roughly the same level? Power in terms of Ashe, Kai'Sa, and like the Heavenly Kane, Millie, Bruiser variants. Are there any comps you're favoring more, Alan? Starting with you, any comps that you know start the game and you're angling toward this comp from the beginning, or not really?
Yes, Invisible in shop for me. So I'm definitely not buying this unit. It's -12 gold for fun. For the rest of the units, I'm pretty confident we'll play all of them. I think like maybe less of Nautilus, and depends how many Kanes will be in the lobby. Well, some of the units are just depending, if you need to have that CC against melee units like Annaut himself, and units you are more likely to play Ani if you need anti-heal than if you don't, because, again, there's a lot of self-sustaining frontliners that you need to deal somehow if you don't have the items for.
For you, Shredden, any four-cost preferences or not really?
Obviously, if I get an Ashe in my shop or an any, I would definitely buy them, but hopefully I will not grief myself during the tournament. I'll just play the strongest board and put the pieces together as they come, not tunneling towards one specific composition overall.
I'm trying to understand why I don't qualify to GSCs.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many playable units right now that they're either S, A, or B tier, but... if you make the good connections, the board can win in various ways that you wouldn't even think of.
And fitting in with that thought, I think Exalted as well will be very relevant throughout the entire weekend, because so many units are clickable now, because there is relative parity among so many different four costs, and you can build a very flexible board with how horizontal the traits are generally in set 11. There's a lot of horizontal traits you can fit in that give team-wide buffs, and it really helps out. Any secret tech before we move on from the meta? Any comp that, I mean really secret tech, Riven reroll type secret tech.
We're not going to leak the juice. Move on.
Okay, so Alan, you're not going to leak anything. Maybe Fred and Asaika want to leak some stuff.
I'm lucky.
No?
Okay.
I've already mastered it. Luka,
relax.
Repeat.
No, nothing. You missed
him. Say Asaika.
Nothing.
Silas was saved.
Okay, let's move on to the next slide then, because there's nothing to leak here. Oh, I don't think you're going to yes, please, Alan. The next slide is... Okay, no, wait, it's Heavenly Case. Okay, this I think will be one of the most played comps in the meta. Every single game now in Challenger in the U.S., it's four players angling towards it in stage two, and then three players playing it, sometimes four. Do you guys like playing the comp? Do you guys think it's...
Okay. I don't like it.
Have you answered my question, or... Okay, Asaika, then is a clear no. Fred and Alan, do you see yourselves playing this comp? Do you think it has any weaknesses? Other than not hitting, of course.
Darius
2 and me, good. Don't hit Darius bad.
Darius might have a hard time against really tough tanks like a well-equipped Annie or Galio. Could have buy enough time for Kai'Sa or Ashe to deal with them, but otherwise... it's often very tempo dependent, honestly.
Okay. I guess specific augments, fine rolls and you very strong comment augments really make it easy to play this comp if you're not super, super good tested. The second comp that we'll be looking at very quickly is going to be a Silence with Sage. So, Alan, walk us through why you think this comp is so bad, according to you.
Syrah, you need to could cost slightly more.
Okay.
Silence, you need... Okay, you can follow the slide.
Okay, you don't like this version.
Misconceptions here. See some misconception on the slide. It's fine. You can play all good. I'll be ready.
So what variant will you be playing?
I mean, no, variant is fine. Like, just the positioning. Like, you obviously want to give Silas Sage. Like, that's where his power comes from the
history. Yeah, that one I saw on Twitter as well.
You want to buff it up with a Kayle as well. Like this Silas is just missing for fun 60 AP. Like, that's just infinite healing and damage that you're just missing out. And that Silas can just beat out the Kayle as well with the having with the proper itemized. And, like, the items are pretty important. The Spark and Adaptive are definitely beasts. And last item is definitely BT. Crown Guard is like second item if it's AD heavy lobby. If there are some AP, it's more leaning towards BT, however.
Asaika, you mentioned you won't be playing this comp. Can you give us any reasons why you will not be playing the comp?
No, I said I will.
No,
I'm joking. But yeah, because... last time on Ultra Liga Cast, I said that I want to Silas be a thing, like a comp. And now this comp pop up, so that's why I'm just cheering for him. But no, I probably will not play that.
Really? Okay. I play Silas a lot on like Kayle.
And how it goes?
Good.
Okay.
I think he's a beast. I play him in Heavenly Reroll. I find a 2-star Silas and I go 9. And then I sell him later for Kayle.
Look at that, right? Like, you have the Sage, which is like think about the Heavenly. Heavenly scales your stats, AP and resist, which Silas really likes. This is doing exactly the same. Sage gives you AP, Altruist gives you resist, so this further damage reduction on top of playing bruisers. So this, if you want to focus on the Silas on his own, then this will be slightly stronger than Heavenly, which will be missing bruisers. The Silas will be a bit squishier. This Silas can literally go rampant through the whole board himself. However, when you're playing Heavenly, if you get a bit more AD items, like this comp would struggle utilizing them until you get that Wukong. But like, you can't really rely on that, and that would be Wukong 1. On the other side, when you play Heavenly, there are a few units that can utilize them, like Kayle or Lee. So like, if you want to play this comp, but you are getting BF Glob suddenly from the cracks, you might look into the potential pivots together with Silas, while having, for example, adaptive first argument, and having like double adaptive, you can lean towards Heavenly instead of this version.
As the power of Kayle, I think if you're rolling for just Kayle when you're playing Heavenly, you're gonna have a very, very bad time. It's 4-way contested. But if you're rolling for any of Kayle, Lee Sin, and a Silas plus some legendary, and you can gauge when you're strong enough to go 9, I think it's a very good playstyle on ladder at least. And there's so many, it's almost unfair how many augments there are that buff melee bruisers compared to how many augments there are that buff, I don't know, AP casters, for example. It's an obscene amount of very good like gold augments that help us combat a lot, or just like Heavenly in general. So I think Silas is the beast, in my opinion. And you can use like BT, Edge of Knights, like generic, melee items that are not AP items, and still use them pretty well. I'm a big believer.
He's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm also a believer. I want Silas to be a thing, so I'm on his side.
No, you want to believe, but you're not a believer. It's different.
Yeah, that's true. That's different. But I hope you show me on guest that he is worth to believe in.
All right. Well, we'll leave the meta talk at that note then. The hope of Silas becoming a thing in GSC this weekend. We're going to move into the rankings to see what players will become a thing potentially coming into the GSC. We're first going to look at the snub list, which is the players that received a substantial amount of votes but didn't end up making the final top 15. Those are players that got close, but didn't quite make it. And the votes, of course, come from our panel of judges, which is a bit different now. A few swaps have been made, but overall, just historic, very high-level TFT players in the MEA. Any surprises here from the names that did not make it, Alan?
A good run on the LAN, didn't make it. I don't know. I don't think he played that many games on the ladder, but given that most judges are playing ladder, we haven't seen him has the lower score. I did rate him higher. But surprised that he still is that low, given that he was usually significantly higher. Elia having a decent appearance here which is a good thing. Zyko pretty low, struggling in the set on the ladder I've seen.
Didn't make it to GSC. So actually, could not be voted for, but some judges, they don't care. Or they don't read the rules, and they just vote for players who are not playing in GSC. Yeah, Zyko didn't make it, and a few others. Brendan, for you, any surprises from this list? Any players that you thought would be ranked higher?
I mean, looking at this list, I'm not really sure what we're looking at, so could you give us a little bit more?
Yes, so the snub list is... So the ranking was made of the top 15 players for our panel of judges. They each made their ballots, so they vote, oh, this guy number one, number two, etc. And these are players that received votes but did not make the total top 15. So they're like 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, you know, in the list.
Oh, I see.
So they're not quite top 15 for the first ranking, which is the preview for GSC number one this weekend.
I think Alan is a little bit low. Maybe, Zyko as well. But, like, I'm not a big fan of Zyko's playstyle, honestly, ever since set 9.5. Because,
multicaster.
Having seen him playing multicasters, like no blaming, or like obviously he's not to blame, playing the same comp all the time. But I think that he would evolve a little bit. But
he finished quite well at Leipzig. He was in the top eight.
On that point, I think Zyko, after having that good performance on the multicasters, locked himself in the mind where this could be a play style, which could be leaning into the actually worst results right now and like not that good of a performance overall.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same thing I wanted to say, that he's like, I feel every game he's leaning towards one comp or like maybe two at most, that he doesn't really like to explore more options that are given to him during the game.
Kind of like hindering his own potential, you think? And this is a player who, when I first started casting TFT in set 6, I always, check ladder every so often, see the player, stats, top 4 rate, win rate, just to have more idea about the narratives coming into the tournaments. And Zyko's always a player who didn't make it to many GSCs at the beginning, when I was started casting, but he always had insane stats on ladder. He played very few games, but had like 25% win rates and almost 70% top 4 rate every set. So, and then seeing the multicasters thing kind of changed his reputation in my mind. But we'll see if this set can be different. Clemu, as you mentioned, Alan, I think a lot of players maybe just looked at ladder mostly for the rankings. But if you're looking at tournaments, second and the first in two LAN events, it's definitely something you have to give value to, despite Clemu not having proven too much before this set. And Solvi as well, didn't make it to GSC. He's not playing. Did well at Leipzig, but yeah, kind of sad. Lusher's a player that I think has really popped off start of the set on ladder. And the understanding of the meta has been pretty good. So I'm excited for him this weekend as well.
If he got the beer pong buff.
The beer pong buff as well, yes. We won't talk about that on the podcast.
I heard on your stream about...
You didn't hear anything. I was like, don't worry about it. definitely, Alan and me won all our beer pong matches, clearly. Let's move on now to the actual power ranking. So for Fredden, so you understand, this is the top 15 players in EMEA. The other was the snub list. And double, 61, once again on top. Not unanimous this time. This is 11.5 out of, 15 would be the perfect score. 11.5 is a little bit lower. But double number one, Lococo number two, Lelouch and LFDQ, third and fourth. So Poland climbing up, maybe the first time ever, as high as this. Solgosang in fifth place. Cambiz, Adebol, Lides, Volta, Yeruzor, Enzo following along a sea of French flags from the 6th to 11th place position. Daystick at number 12 in his kind of full-time return to TFT. Yosko, I think for the first time ever, a Spanish player in the top 15, if I'm not mistaken, off of his credit rank 1 on the US ladder. Wedge Jungler just barely making it, according to players' opinions. And Kuriksen at 15th, but a very good start of the set as well, with a rank 1 in the first few weeks. Alan, any big surprises in this top 15? Are you happy to see yourself?
Yeah, I'm there.
It's your first time, no?
Yes,
that is my first time indeed.
How does it feel? You feel it's
good to be rated well. I mean, yeah. It always feels good. Like the ego gets scratched, it's a nice feeling.
Do you feel like you could have been in the top 15 in past sets, or do you feel this is the first time you deserve to be in the top 15?
I didn't play that well last sets as I played this set, so I don't think so. I think I have a lot of room for improvement still. However, it feels to be appreciated and noticed.
Both.
And Lelouch ahead of you? Do you think it's accurate? Do you think Lelouch is currently a better player than you? Alan?
It's hard to tell. I haven't watched Lelouch play much. I was too busy playing myself, so I'm not sure. Like, I part of just LP changes, I can't tell much. So, like, I can't really compare. I haven't watched much the sets. Like, was like this time I'm testing, watching a lot less, studying a lot less, and just like studying stats instead of studying other people's game style. Unless I see that there is an issue that I cannot deal with myself, then I'll be looking out and watching bots. However, if there is no issue and like it's the things that I'm doing are working well, mm-hmm. I'll keep on it and just keep studying on like the stats because that works very well.
Right. I like a diplomatic answer. Very, very well said. Brennan, any players you've been watching this set that have surprised you, that you rate highly? Any name of this list that you disagree with?
I think Mozdarix and Kvixen are a little bit underappreciated here. Mm-hmm. I think that should be higher. At least comparing against other players. But other than that, I know. Gyosko has been having a great set so far, I think. And I think that he could be making his results right now as well. But we're about to see this weekend.
And Gyosko is a player who, just for some extra context, for those that don't know him, he's considered by many to be like a reroll degenerate in past sets of TFT. He's won trick many comps. He's also someone that really performs well in an open four meta where you're not taking that much player damage. And with the changes recently where you can, maybe not fully open four, but take a lot of damage stage two and three and then come back with a very strong board. He's much, he just loves his playstyle. So I think it really fits him. And he finished third in one of the GSCs in set seven. So he's someone that has tournament experience as well. Just not really, I think, the competitive discipline to like play seriously the entire set and just not give up on certain patches. So we'll see what he can bring to the table this weekend. I think for you, any surprises here? Anyone that you would rate higher?
Yeah, I was thinking about Kubikson to rate him higher because he has a really good start. He has, I remember, one issue with one patch after Ghostly was invented by Szymek. But then I feel like he was reading good meta, so mm-hmm. I rank him higher.
I know he was a very strong Kai'Sa player, almost to the point where some people were faulting him for it. Cough, cough, Lelouch. But do you guys think that in this meta, Kubikson will be doing worse? Do you think it doesn't matter for him? Do you think he'll find other ways to play around different forecasts?
Because like Kubikson, in my opinion, play sometimes one comp like this Kai'Sa, but sometimes play more initiate, like by intuition. Okay. And seeing good spots, so that's why this four meta cost might be good for him.
Okay, so kind of like where everything is good, he'll be able to play in a way where he just has to play off of what makes sense and not what is actually unbalanced or overpowered or all this kind of stuff. Okay, that makes sense to me. Any other surprises? Yeah,
I think he's good at identifying what's broken mm-hmm. and playing it. But the problem is in the meta where like it's already identified. He might struggle actually because it's too contested, and if it's too contested and you're already like you get used to it and you keep trying to go for the same thing, you might have an issue finding yourself doing well in this position, unless you find some good pivots from the situation. Let's say you're trying to play Kane, you got contested, now what if you don't have alternative in your mind?
Pilots.
What can you pivot?
I mean, he wants. He won GSC during set 9 when it was the Iona Emblem patch, so I think he's good with being contested over an OP comp, and I wouldn't worry about that if I were him.
And Kai'Sa, when he was playing, it was not exactly a hidden tech. It was like four players per lobby as well, and he was doing pretty good with it. So I think he probably knows his spots that he can get away with it and spots he can't. But this is the top 15 for someone asking in chats, where does his ranking come from? There are 15 judges that are asked every time for their votes on the start of this week, the week before GSCs, and they, according to their understanding of ladder rankings, of tournaments, etc., they rate their top 15 players. And you can find the full ranking, I'll link it at the end of the show. It's on the esports.gg website, so you can find everything. You'll see it on Twitter as well. But you can see each judge, what they voted individually, and you can flame people for their votes or not as well, if you'd like to. But that's where it comes from. Pretty much a good player that from different nationalities, not only French players, not only German players, not only Polish players, a mix of some of the top names, like, you know, Double61, Ging, Skipayus, Dark Hydra, etc. And they vote for what their takes are on the best players in current form coming to GSC. Just to get a kind of a preview and look at some of the favorites coming to the events. But that's it for the power ranking. Asahika, you weren't on the snub list either. Why do you think players are not voting for you? They don't
I don't know. That.
They're unaware of your Silas tech, I think. Maybe you'll fill them.
Yeah, for sure.
The Silas tech. Okay, we're going to move on to the last part before the fantasy draft of the show. And it'll be just general discussion and two specific topics because we have Asahika and Shredden here as guests. And I think you two are both, as I mentioned at the very beginning, people that I think are very successful in TFT, not just because you're good at the game, but because of other things mixed in. And one of those things is casting. I say, you're also casting now in Polish Ultraliga. Fred, and you've joined me already in the past for a lot of different content stuff in English, like Rumble Recap, for example, and other things that you always, you know, have a great presence. And you've also done a lot of streaming, of course. But one of the topics I want to talk about first is about women in esports. I mention this because, not leaking or anything, but right behind the scenes, the last few sets has talked to me and other casters about, you know, the topic in general, like why are there not more women in esports? Why are there not more women qualifying in GSCs? What are the reasons behind this? What are the possible fixes as well? We've had some women in the past, like Aritia from Spain, Metal Manatee. Obviously, the NA Reimplosion, I think, is a great example. Jirachi as well in the past. But still, the numbers are very, very low compared to what you would expect in general. For this GSC, as a big surprise, there's actually three women qualified, Asahika, Chisa from Netherlands, and Thalia from Italy, which I think is usually we have maybe one, and even then, it's not every GSC, obviously. So I wanted to ask Asahika, your experience in general in TFT, have you faced hardships because you're a woman? Has it been easy for you to compete and still have, you know, respect from your peers, for example? Have you tailored a community around your own stream and everything that makes it easier for you? What has your general experience been with TFT and competing?
Oh, whoa.
It's a big question, I know.
Yeah, that was a lot of questions at once, but I tried to manage all of them. So for sure, it's not easy to be a woman in esports in general. In TFT, I think like it's hard because you don't have like authority and like pro player woman. So that's why sometimes, even if I have like some good idea, I'm always not confident if I'm right, if I'm not right, because most of the pro players are men, and I feel those authority from them. Mm-hmm. That's so for sure, like lack of confidence in some of decisions, and maybe time, because you need to spend a lot of time on TFT, and you need to play, you need to study, you need to analyze, and not everyone has time for it. So maybe from this maybe
within the Polish community, have you, at least from my experience interacting, going to Ultraliga, going there in person, you know, seeing you cast Ultraliga as well, I always feel like the Polish community in general respects you a lot for the work that you put in into the game and, you know, your stream and all this stuff as well. Do you feel like you are, let's say, kind of lucky with the Polish community, where it does feel so welcoming and so friendly, at least from my perspective, from the outside?
Yes, everyone are very friendly, and I'm very lucky to be in this community, and I'm always being supported by my stream Polish streamers, TFT, from Riot as well. So from that, thank you very much. And I think we have a lot of women in our community, TFT, mm-hmm. but when I talk with them, all of them saying the same thing, that they doesn't have time for playing more. Even though they are good at the game and to reach some higher rank, mm-hmm. They are just not have time for playing as competitive as some other players can.
Okay. In terms of Riot, for example, just always asking us in the past what things can be changed for the future. Is there anything on top of your mind that you think would make it more accessible for women, that would make it more, you know, because a lot of women maybe just, they don't feel like you're saying, like they don't have the authority to, you know, compete at a high level or be respected at a high level. Do you think anything can be done, you know, step-by-step basis to change that in the future that can make it easier for women to want to compete in the first place, not even just being good or bad or, you know, being good enough, but having the desire to be at that level, for example? outside of like
great.
Time.
Well, hear me out. I can collect all the women who play TFT, and we can make some collective and support each other and play together. I'm open for that. Every woman that listened to this.
Study group.
Yeah, DM me. We will make something together.
The Silas tech will expand.
Yeah.
And from obviously in esports in general, there's always been attempts from not just Riot, but you know, esports companies and developers in the past to, in my opinion, kind of have some artificial inclusion where they create different tournaments only for women, for example. Or for me, I've always seen like a kind of a band-aid solution where, like, sure, you're adding more inclusivity, but it's kind of in a forced way where it's not really solving the core issues, I think, which are feeling wanting to play in the first place and feel welcome playing among men and all this. Do you think anything being done in TFT in terms of like formats, in terms of, I don't know, off the top of your mind, anything, any kind of solutions for this or not really?
I was thinking about separate tournament for women's, but I don't know if it's a good idea because I believe like women are as good as men and can beat them. So for me, in my opinion, it's better just to encourage them to play more and play more competitive rather than make separate tournaments for women.
Right. I agree with that. And hopefully your performance in the GSC, no pressure, will be a great role model.
On behalf of all the women in Esport.
Game one, silent.
There you are.
Eighth like... place. No. I'm Caster blessing you. Whatever I say, it's the opposite, remember. So you'll go first place in your first game. But do you feel like you have maybe in some ways this kind of pressure, at least for the Polish community or the viewers that watch you, where you want to do well?
Of course I want to do well. Of course I have a pressure. Of course I'm stressed, but I will try to forget about it and focus on my games and just try my best.
Okay, I can stand behind that statement. Yeah, that's all the topic I wanted to talk about, just to bring it up as a discussion point. So I think it's important to talk about these things and have different opinions and perspectives on a topic I think is really, really important. And like I said, when you first qualified, I was sad that I didn't make it because I was also playing the day three. When I saw you made it, I was really happy for the casters as well. You're on the team caster that you're also qualified for. We have like a team of like Kesman, me, Asaika, and a few others that are actually competing and casting at the same time. So always happy. The second topic I wanted to talk about in this kind of general discussions is about sustainability in TFT, which means trying to make a living within the TFT esports scene outside of just, you know, in some ways gambling on like winning the world championship or et cetera. I want to talk about this because Asaika, you're casting now in Ultra Liga since last set. You've also been streaming for a long time. You're a content creator for Z10 for a Serbian esports org. Serbian? Okay.
Yes.
Got it. Nice. Shredden, you're also doing a lot of stuff. You're writing scripts for Riot. I do voiceovers with these scripts. You're doing behind the scenes stuff. You're also streaming and playing. In general, how does it feel for you guys in the TFT scene? Has it been easy to make it to this spot where you're able to live off of doing TFT full time? How was the general, like the journey for you, starting with you, Shredden?
Obviously it was a huge investment time-wise and money-wise. I had a good enough spot to be able to take that risk because I had some money saved and I could have played for a couple, like almost 2 years without making money back or like living off of those saved money. And right now I'm in a place where I actually make a sustainable income, so I'm really happy for that. Obviously I've been blessed by some Riot employees that I had this opportunity, and I don't think there's many enough spots yet to for a lot of people to actually live this way, but yeah, it takes a lot of time and discipline obviously as well, although I could be doing more, but yeah, there's still more room to progress.
How have you balanced wanting to just like grind TFT 24/7 while also having to do, let's say, like real life adult responsibility kind of stuff? Has it been hard to balance?
What's that?
Oh,
yeah, it was an adult's life. Like, I left that behind 2 years ago and I decided to do TFT full time. So hopefully I won't have to go back to that, but you know, I'm not taking it for granted. So
is there any way you would encourage other competitors, other pro players who are currently not streaming, not doing YouTube, and only relying on like their competitive careers as players to do more? Is there any tips you can give, or any, I don't know, any encouragement you can give to players that want to change and make it more sustainable long term?
Honestly, all depends to what country you live in, I think, because French people probably make enough from their esports organizations, I think, from what we talk, like, for example, in Malaga a year ago. So, oh yeah, if you're not from France, you probably should just try to stream as much and build a community around you. And if you're present for a long enough time, I think the opportunity will come eventually. There's always a lot of people that just fall out on the way.
And you should respond to my DMs on Discord if you want to be involved in things.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It works. Cough, cough. Many players don't. And Asaika, looking at you in terms of casting, when did you start casting? How did you get into casting Ultra Liga? How did that happen? I was not to say fully surprised, but I didn't know you were you know, planning to cast, for example.
Okay, because it started from making tournaments for my viewers, because I joined the Riot League partner, and we getting monthly some chibis sometimes or some other tacticians. And that was actually Shredin's idea. He was thinking about making these tournaments for viewers, but I took his idea for myself. He let me, and I started to making tournaments for my viewers, and I really liked cast those tournaments. And then I got invite from Riot to co-stream guest awards and all these tournaments, and I was very grateful for that as well. And I was casting it on my channel, and after that, like, and at December, company who takes responsibility for Ultraliga asked me if I want to join to their caster team, and I was like, yes, of course I want. I was really
and you're
happy.
Casting now with Kesman and Blackfire Ice.
Yes, exactly.
How has it been casting with them two? What was that experience like?
That was a really good experience because they were already experienced with working with television, and that was something new for me. But I knew them, especially I know Kesman for a long time. So that was like a spectating caster with a friend, basically. So that was amazing. And I'm glad that I can still be part of it and still cast Ultraliga and other stuff. And now I'm a player, but still, if I will not make it to this day second, then I will cost stream as well. So my situation is win-win.
Okay. Oh, yeah, so you're the same as me then.
Yes.
I didn't qualify to GSC, but that means I get to pay the bills. So it's a win-win for me for sure. Looking to the next set, there's changes around the broadcast. It's been announced already for EMEA. There'll be a lot less main broadcasts, only for EMEA finals and for Worlds. Will you be one of the co-streamers then, Asaika, who will be doing, if you're not playing, of course, in GSC's next set? You'll be one
of
them.
Yeah, I will.
Right, good to hear. And Alan, I haven't forgotten about you. I know you've also done some casting in these few sets. You're also playing at a very high level, of course. Is there any role you prefer? Do you actually really like casting enough to maybe want to do casting full-time, except other than just being a player?
The game I play usually, I'm very passionate about. And either when I'm playing or casting, like, it's just like I'm locked in like Narnia, different dimension. Like, it's such a great experience, and being able to share it with other people is so amazing. In terms of preference, I love competing. Competing doesn't grudge right now the sustainability that's guaranteed. Yeah, unless you are in the org, and like, you have to pick between like gambling and having the sustained paycheck. Going for the sustained paycheck is obviously better, smarter. When you're an adult, you have to live off that. And when both things bring you the great joy, you should just choose the safer and better way, probably in such a position. So casting, probably. However, when I have a spot to compete, I'll be competing.
If I had the ability to get a rank one on the EU West server, Alan, believe me, I would not be casting TFT. I'd be gambling away to get that world championship title for my region, finally. But okay, I respect, I understand obviously your point of view. This has been my point of view since I started casting 7 years ago, so I completely get it. Okay, the two main general topics I want to talk about, just to get both your ideas, especially Asaika and Treden, on these two topics. But now we'll move on to the most fun, most exciting, less confusing for newcomers parts of the podcast, which is the fantasy draft. And the tech is here. We have had our producer working tirelessly for months to develop the Google Sheets technology to make this fantasy draft as quick and easy as possible. Each person takes a turn nominating someone with a starting bid. We have a list here of 64 out of the 128 players that are playing in GSC. Not every player, but the most notable ones, the ones that probably will be voted for a fantasy draft. Each bid will be worth a dollar amount, has to be higher than one and lower than 97, because you have to have five players in your team. It has to be worth at least $1 minimum. Drafters may then bid higher until there are no bidders. So if I propose, for example, Alan for $40 or euros, and no one wants to pay 41 for Alan, then I will take him. If someone wants to pay 41, it goes to him until no one wants to pay higher than that. It's like an auction. I'm sure you guys have seen movies or in real life, etc. Each drafter had 100 euros total to spend for five players. And the scoring to see who wins the draft will be the total points accumulated on days 1, 2, and 3. So the goal of the draft is to try and find as many day 3 players in your team as possible. That's how you win for the most part. But the strategies, there are many strategies and many psychological tricks. Okay. I will start with the first bid, and it will be, I'm going to go with Alan ZQ for $1.
You're actually a reminder the last time you...
Yes, you but the last time you were, you did not get rank one, buddy. I believe in you now. This is a completely different set.
Like, how can you not learn from your own mistake?
I paid 9 euros.
You would be a fool right here. Nah.
1 euro. $2. No, $2. Alan values himself at $2. Anyone else? So now at any point, you can... There's no order now. You guys can say, oh, 3 or 4 or...
Okay, I can give 10.
10. That's one more than I paid, and I regretted it a lot last set. I don't know. I got day one.
Let's go away. The game.
Alan has been in Lost Ark the entire week. So currently, 10 for Asaika. Anyone higher? For Alan ZQ, rank 1 in set 11, Inkborn Fables on the EUS server. Discoverer of many comps like Lux Reroll.
Fine.
Playing Darius and Keanu.
I'm self confident.
Okay, 11. No one higher than 11?
No, it's enough. Just let it go.
I'll be 12.
Bro. You're thinking that bait will work. Last time you tried to bait me, it didn't
work. Give me yourself for 12. I'm happy to take you.
No.
All is steel. Okay. Quick bait, buddy. Plus 2. Anyone higher than 13 for Alan?
Okay.
You don't have to guilt bid, Asaika.
No, I have to give 50.
You don't have to feel bad for Alan.
Statement.
Okay. 15.
16.
16 from Alan.
17.
So usually, Asaika, I'll give you some pro tips. Mm-hmm. The best of the best players in the fantasy drafts. So thing like White Jungler, Double 61, they usually go for 35 to 45. So like A plus tier players go from like 25 to 35, and then under that, it kind of depends on what you think of the players.
Let's go, relax.
It was 19 then.
This is like when I convinced Ryko to like bid 20 more euros for himself.
Fine. 20. I'm not bidding more.
Okay.
20. All right. Good job, team. We got like plus 8 from Alan. Okay, Alan for 20. Final bid. Hey, Alan, you propose now a bidder.
Who do I bet you into? I'll go for the Mugiwara one.
Mugiwara. You guys want a player description of who Mugiwara is? I see some confusion.
He's Nemesis of Kezman. He competes with Kezman on
UNE, right?
Yeah.
Because Mena's playing on UNE. But he's a pretty strong player. He's been in many GSCs in the past.
Same stuff.
$1 for Muji. Why do you believe Alan in Muji?
He can play. I think he does.
Okay.
He has best stats on the US.
Okay. US or UNE?
US.
He's playing on both servers?
Yeah, he's playing on both.
Okay. And commitment. We were talking about earlier. Okay. So Muji for one. Is this bait or no, Alan? You'd be honest. All right, Muji for two.
Okay, for three.
Right in, you can bid whatever you want, by the way. Yes, you do.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my plans.
Okay, Muji currently for €3.
Mm-hmm. 5.
Asaika.
From me.
Okay, 10.
10. Asaika's a big believer in any secret tech from Alan. He's like, all right, I'm down.
Our biggest debate.
10 for Muji.
Look at the least.
Remember, you have 5 slots in your team, no more. So each, it's not just getting a player for cheap, it's that player taking a slot up in your team, which you have to hope this player makes day 3. You have to have a guarantee he makes.
Plus,
pass. 10 for Asaika. So Muji is sold Asaika for 10. First of your team members. Now, Shredden, you are the player that proposes. Anyone on the list and any dollar amount. It doesn't have to be one. You can start a bid at 10 or 20 or whatever you want.
Okay, I'll go with Voltariux for one as well.
Voltariux for one. I'll take Volta for 5.
We'll pass that one.
Where?
Alan?
No,
I'm good.
I'll bid 10 then.
I'll bid 11 for Volta.
Are we going like one by one still or what?
Up to you. If you want to be a Giga Chad and bid 25, maybe I value Volta at 30 and I'll keep going up until you get there. Maybe I don't.
Well, it's going to take a while then.
12?
Yeah, I'll bid 12. What do you?
Yeah. I'm bidding 13.
Okay, I'll give 20 then.
Okay, it's yours. Okay, Volta for 20 to Shredden. Asaika, you're proposing now a bid.
I'm proposing now.
Sometimes it's not even a player that you want. Sometimes you just want to, you know, bait others to you know, bidding more for this player and then leaving other players open in the future. So there's layers to the draft.
You bait me into paying for myself.
Exactly. I've been shredded into playing into betting plus 8 for Volta for free.
Let's go with jungler.
Okay. For what amount?
For one. We'll start with one.
$1 for what jungler? It's GSC.
Yeah, it's GSC and it's with jungler. It's at 11. I don't know. It might be 5.
Okay, I will book you. You are now, yeah. What did you say, Alan?
I said 5 first.
Well, I'm at 10 now, so.
Okay, doesn't matter.
I'm on 10.
12.
Alan? 14.
You can have him.
Okay. I'll take what's under for €14. And I'm bidding now. I will put Asaika for $1.
This is gonna be interesting. Come on, Shane. Come on, let's see.
I bid 5.
Only
fair.
Okay, 5 for Asaika from Shredden. Asaika, you believe in yourself?
Do I believe in myself?
And in your position as a role model for everyone in your community?
Yeah, let's go with 10.
10
on herself. Do you believe in Asaika?
Yeah, I do. That's why I want her to have a good team, and I let her have herself for 10 euros.
Okay.
So we can both have more budget for the next players.
Don't worry, you're going to go on the list as well, Fredin.
Diplomatic answer. I need to keep my budget.
Saika for 10 to herself. Yes? Okay, confirmed.
All right, Shredin won.
Stop copying my strats.
Oh, you think you have the only smart team? Relax.
I give to
5.
10.
I give 6. I'm a believer.
Okay, 10. Currently, Shredin for himself or 10?
15.
15.
12.
20. Shredin is, looks okay. I like the confidence. 20 for yourself. Alan, any higher?
Pass.
Shredin to yourself for 20, and you propose the next bid. You have 60 euros remaining, Shredin.
Okay. Now, wow.
You're saying that there aren't 50-something players to choose from still.
Yeah. I don't know which one to go with.
No. And to help you guys, on the list, you can see the left column is all France, for example, and then second column is like Germany and some France, then Spain, Poland, and then the all other countries, basically.
Okay, Solo Gesang for 10.
Okay, Solo for 10.
12?
I will bid 14 for Solo.
I bid 20. You're going higher?
I'll bid 21 for Solo.
21. Okay, I'll bid 30 then.
I love how Shredin, you just get tired of bidding $1 more. You always go,
yeah. Like, but...
And everyone's like, okay, we're out.
I know what I want.
Shredin, if you don't want to be here, you can leave whatever you want.
I want the play. I don't know the players I want. So
you know when you finish your budget, you can't leave. You have to stay until we all finish as well.
It's okay.
Okay, so on for 30 to Shredin.
The leftovers anyway, right?
There's so many players to choose from. Okay, solo for 30 to Shredin. Anyone else? Okay, sold. So Shredin and Asaika, you propose a bid now.
Leluk. I mean, Nadim. Mm-hmm. And for 10.
For 10. So some players have enough respect where you don't start at $1.
15 to save
15. Okay, I'll go 21 for Luce.
22.
23.
25.
26. 27. Alan? Panda? Shredin? Get your last $2. Shredin's looking at his buddy like,
No, I mean, obviously, I have my finger crossed for Lelouch, but I know he could choke. So I'm not confident enough in taking him on my team.
So it's currently 27 for you, Asika?
Yes, for me.
Okay, Lelouch. No other Alan, no?
I'm good.
Okay. Sold to Asika for 27, Lelouch. Well, he's a team. And now it is my bid again. I'm going to go ahead and bid 1 dollar for Lusher.
Pass.
Wait, let me check his launches.
Whoa. Don't just checking in the middle of the draft. Do you remember before or don't you remember?
He's the real enjoyer. This is not the patch for Lesher.
You can have him. Like, yeah, he rerolls Janna 3 to
that
like
patch,
3. And...
I would pay for Lesher 10. This patch, No. I'm not a believer.
Okay. Lusher for one to me.
Also, it's limited space on the team.
Alan?
Hmm?
You bid.
Thinking. I will take Daisy for one.
Redden, Asaika?
Yeah. I pass, I think. Maybe I'll bid 10, because
okay.
You're having like all the players for free. That's not fair.
10 from Freddin.
Yeah, 10 from me.
I'll bid 11. You don't bid, Alan?
Not yet.
What do you mean not yet? It's either you do or you don't. I take him for 11.
No, I don't bid.
Okay. Freddin, no?
No, I pass.
Right. So basic to me for 11. And you bid now, Freddin.
I'll bid one on Jedusor or Yedusor or however you pronounce his name. I'm sorry about that.
Yedusor. Mm-hmm.
Okay, 5.
It is remaining to open qualifier. Did you play with any lobbies with him?
No, I haven't. I played like in day 3. I played almost all or at least 4 lobby with Hydra. I remember that.
Maybe. Oh, 7 is not a nice number.
7-4. That's your bid.
Yeah.
Okay. 10.
You have a lot of budget for 2 people. I think I remember.
I know. That's why it's 10. I didn't need to spend all my money, right?
Yeah. You're cutting it quite a bit.
I think I'll pass.
What are you doing, Alan? You want to buy some players or what?
Relax.
Eating.
Alan just playing for himself.
What I'm doing. Go ahead.
Where the okay, Yedizor for 10 from Asaika. No one higher?
Well, 15, maybe.
15 from Freddin. Alan?
I'm good.
Okay, sold to Shreddin for 15. 4 players now on your team. Shreddin, you have exactly 15 euros for your last player. Anyone that bids above 15 now, you're automatically removed from betting for that player, obviously. I say, you propose now.
I propose now. Okay, so maybe... Maybe Broken?
Okay. For how much?
For one.
And that?
Alan?
You are first in line after Asaika. You are...
I will pass for now.
Pass? Ready?
Yeah, I'll pass.
All right. You take Asaika for one. Okay. And you have 52 euros for your final player, which means anyone you want... You can have pretty much. I don't think Noah is going to try and outbid you. So your next proposal is very important. I'm up now. I'm going to go with... Lecoco. For 1 euro.
Two. I haven't been heard.
Two.
Three.
Remember, I got any bid you make now, if we decide to stop bidding, okay. So keep it in mind. You can't like casually bid anymore, basically. 3 from Shredden, 4 for Let Go from me. $4. No one wants Lecoco for more than $4.
I mean, Asaika bids now, no? In the do it, would that be going order?
No, she passed already.
No, I passed.
Oh, I didn't hear.
No, well, binning no. It's not an order, Alan. It's
in. Oh, okay. Yeah. But we go left to right.
Only proposing.
Okay.
I could bid all I have right now, so.
15. Okay, 16.
Okay.
17.
17, you said, Alan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 18.
19.
Okay, 24.
It seems like we're all going to have our teams ready 25. By the time Alan has second player.
Yeah.
He's going to have everything for one.
25?
Yes, 25.
26.
27?
28.
30.
32.
35.
Okay, you can have them. Ole Coco for 35 to Alan. And you bid now, Alan. Or you propose.
Mm-hmm. Aug 1.
Aug for 1. Burden, Aseika?
I'll pass.
I pass. I have my fifth player in mind already.
I'll pass as well.
I'll cool. Take this.
Redden, you propose now?
wait. Oh, yeah, I see him. Stormy for one.
You can you can just vote 15.
Oh, yeah, right. So, well, 15, I guess.
Okay. Stormy for 15. Asaika?
Plus.
Plus.
Do you yoink Fredin's secret tech player from him or not?
Banda?
I pass as well. Okay. Stormy, finally your team. Fredin for 15. And Asaika, you propose now?
Yes. Give me Hydra.
Hydra for 52?
Yeah, sure.
Do I want Hydra for 52? Or are you baiting me into paying 53 for Hydra?
No. I don't know. Do I bait you?
Anda?
You can have him. You can have him.
All right. Hydra. Me and you. Who do you nominate?
I will nominate...
We're gonna... If there are at least three players, and so, like, that's... I know at least see four players that I want, so like it's win-win.
Yeah, but which one do you want more? That's the important thing.
There you go.
I will go with... Canbiz for 20.
Twenty-five. 26.
Thirty. 30. Okay. You know.
Okay. You can send pick last year your two players.
Thank you.
And I'll take my last one.
You propose first. Your bid.
Well, sure. Double. How much I have? 14.
I have some bad news for you, buddy. Double for 15 euros.
Yes.
Okay, and for my last player, for a grand total of... thank you, producer. 59 euros. I will bid for... I will go with Lides for 59 euros.
And give me Padabok.
Right. For 14. And that is the end of the draft. So, starting with Asaika, please read out your team for us.
I need to read out. Okay. Multivara.
This is like a presentation, you know, like a football club presentation.
Okay, okay. So my
number one Mujibara.
Is Mujibara. Then me, Asaika. Uh-huh. Then Nadim, Lelouch. As, yeah, and Broken or as, and Dark Hydra. That's my team. That's my precious team.
Okay, are you happy with your team?
Of course.
I think it's a nice mix of different countries, different, you know, personalities of players. Fredin, please present your team to us.
So we're going to be playing with Voltariux, Magstab, Shredin, yeah, Solgesang, Yedusor, and Stormy. And yeah, just like you said before about the Psychas team, I think it's a great mixture of both good experience and newcomers. Many nationalities and
your team at what? You're keeping the on your team, Shredin. You're keeping the, you know, the confidence levels, the egos at the same level. Everyone has relatively the same price. You know, no one's being overpaid. The salary, good. You're a sustainable team.
Yeah, obviously the star player Solgesang is the most valuable one, and no doubt about that.
Alan, present to us your team, please.
Bruh, look what I cooked here. Myself included, Coco, Aug, Gambis, and Padabol. You guys are gonna get swept.
Okay. We'll see about that. My team.
Like the most overrated ones, right?
Oh, I'm going to get day one. Are you
kidding, buddy? Imagine
believing in French TFT. We've all made that mistake
before. Himself.
That, they're different players. They're doesn't
imagine
matter.
Buying a guy who got top one with Lax Reroll, which is not viable anymore and hasn't played TFT in a week.
Whoa, I got two top fours in open qualifier with Lax Reroll. Take that back, Shredin.
Yeah, I look very random.
Whoa, too soon, buddy. Okay, my team, to cap it all off, Wed Jungler, second place at Worlds. World star caliber player. Lusher, the master of hidden reroll techs. Well, you guys think there's not a reroll patch? Maybe you're wrong.
Yeah, it's a reroll forecast patch, so then
we'll find out this weekend. Daysake on his return to the big stage, more motivated than ever. You'll see. Double 61 for $15, which seems like an anomaly, but really I just gamed the fantasy draft system. And
it would say better if you get Kanbis or double. It was all about which one I choose to take.
And Lilette's for 59. I'm pretty happy with my team. I think Lilette has been popping off this set as well, so we'll see.
That was my second choice as well. If I don't get the ball.
Master GFT is over.
You didn't get Giosco as you being Spanish.
His reroll play style very good. His current
but he did a lot of LP recently, not playing.
His mental state in the tournament, I cannot vouch for just yet. We'll have to see what happens this weekend. Kidding. I hope the best, but yeah, we'll see. Spain in general, as you know, if I count on them for anything, they do poorly. So I'm not gonna cast for curse any Spanish players.
I think all of us can fairly say you're a sellout because you don't have anyone from your own nationality then.
What do you mean? I'm part German, right? Hello. Ich bin Panda.
Oh yeah.
So the fantasy draft, the scores will be on Twitter after GSC, and we will see who the actual winner is or not. But that marks the end of the show. a very emotional ending, I know. We'll see. And all I can say is I wish the best for all of you competing. You know, must be very fun to have a slot in GSC this weekend as a competitor. Must be very exciting to wake up tomorrow morning knowing you'll be matching up against the best players.
What hour is the start? Can you recall me, Panda?
4 p.m. CET.
Q.
I think. As far as I know, nothing has changed with the schedule just yet. But at the end of the show, thank you so much, Alan, of course, as always, for coming on as a co-host. And to both of you, Shredin and Asaika, for coming on to the show, for sharing your thoughts about so many different things, not just TFT, but just in general, about your place in esports right now. And best of luck to both of you. I hope individually you can do well, as a couple you can do well, and for the Polish scene as well. You guys can do well with 13 Polish players in the GFC. Surely more than two will make the day three, right?
Right.
At least 10.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll all be sharing your
tackling. That should be like, yeah, he's right.
Yeah. I think all of us Polish players were disappointed by the fact that I was the only one being qualified to day three in the last GSC. So right now they're all motivated to go further.
A little trivia, a little self-trivia from Fredin. Thank you, Fredin, for hyping yourself up in the crucial moments before the tournament. I like it. But best of luck to all of you. Best of luck to all the players that are in the chat watching and are competing tomorrow. I hope your games go well. I hope there's no low rolls. There's no more talks to be blamed. There's no crazy encounters, surely, the entire tournament that will ruin your games. And best of luck to all of you. Kazixo7, et cetera. He's being removed, thankfully, in the future. And we'll be back with the next preview for GSC number 2. Maybe a review episode next week, but we'll have to see the logistics of it. But at the very least, before every GSC this week, this set, we'll have a podcast episode. And there will be, of course, a North American podcast version of Don't Knock If You Don't Know today as well. We're now aligned on Thursdays, so definitely check out Rodan's channel. The guests are Rimplosion and Brosef. So great guests, and Bryce, I believe, as well. So yeah, definitely tune in and check that out. And we'll see you all this weekend. Hopefully you guys enjoy the cast on the main broadcast or on any of the co-streamers, if that's the language that you prefer. And yeah, hope you enjoy a lot of CFC coming to you this weekend. Bye-bye.
Hey.